March 26, 1933. Littleness and the Divine Will. How God does the greatest works gratuitously. Example, as with creation and redemption, so with the kingdom of the divine will. In the incarnation the heavens lowered themselves. I felt myself as besieged, invested by the light of the eternal volition. My littleness is so much, that fearing for myself I do nothing other than hide myself even more in this celestial sojourn. Oh! How I would love to destroy this littleness of mine, so that it would feel nothing other than the divine volition alone. But I understand that I cannot do it, nor does Jesus want that it be entirely destroyed. Yet he wants it little, but alive in order to be able to operate inside of a living volition, not dead, so as to be able to have his little tiny field of action and my littleness that, being little, incapable, weak, with reason must lend itself to receiving the great work of the divine fiat. Now, in this sojourn sometimes everything is silent, pacific, with a serenity such that not even a puff of wind is felt. Other times a light breeze blows that refreshes and invigorates, and the celestial inhabitant Jesus moves himself, reveals himself, and with all love speaks about his royal palace and about what his lovable and adorable volition has done and does. So my dear life, revealing himself, told me, my little daughter of my will, you must know that the littleness of the creature serves us as the space for where to be able to form our works. It serves us as the nothing of creation, and because it is nothing, we call to life inside of her our most beautiful works. We want that this littleness be empty of everything that does not pertain to us, but alive, so that she would feel how much we love her, and the life of the works of our will that it develops in her. Therefore you must content yourself with remaining alive without you being the master, because this is the greatest sacrifice and heroism of one who lives of divine will, feeling herself alive in order to endure the divine mastery, such that she does what it wants, how it wants, as long as it wants. This is the sacrifice of sacrifices, the heroism of heroisms. Does it seem little to you to feel that the life of one's own volition would not serve oneself, as if it would not have the right to lose one's own freedom voluntarily, so that it would serve my will, giving it its just rights? Jesus was silent, then, as if he could read in my soul about certain doubts of mine that went through me concerning the divine will, he added, my daughter, the greatest works done by our Supreme Being, all have been done gratuitously, without paying attention to if the creatures merited it or would ask us for it. If we paid attention to this, it would have been necessary for us to bind our arms and not do more works. And if the ungrateful creatures do not glorify us, to not even have the good of making ourselves glorified and extolled by our own works, oh no. No. One single work of ours glorifies us even more than all the works united together of all the human generations. One complete act of our will fills heaven and earth, and with its virtue and its regenerative and communicative power it regenerates for us so much glory that it never ends, and hardly are the little drops given to creatures to comprehend it. Indeed, what merit did man have that we created the sky, the sun, and all the rest? He did not exist yet, he could not say anything to us. In fact, creation was a great work of marvelous magnificence, all gratuitous of God. And the redemption, do you believe that man merited it? Indeed, it was all gratuitous, and if he prayed to us, it was because we made him the promise of the future Redeemer. He was not the first to say it to us, but we were. It was our all gratuitous decree that the Word would take human flesh, and it was completed when sin, human ingratitude, galloped and inundated the whole earth. And if it seems that they did something, there were hardly little drops that could not be enough to merit a work so great that gives of the incredible, that a God made himself similar to man in order to place him in safety, and that additionally man had made him so many offenses. Now the great work of making known my will so that it could reign in the midst of creatures will be a work of ours completely gratuitous. And this is the mistake, that they believe that it will be the merit and on the part of creatures. Ah, yes. It will be there, as the little drops of the Hebrews when I came to redeem them. But the creature is always creature, therefore it will be completely gratuitous on our part because, abounding with light, with grace, with love to her, we will overwhelm her in a way that she will feel strength never felt, love never experienced. She will feel our life beating more vividly in her soul, so much so that it will be sweet for her to let our will dominate. This life of ours still exists in the soul. It was given to her by us at the beginning of her creation, but it is so repressed and hidden that it is as if she did not have it. It is like the fire under the ash that, covered and as crushed under it, it does not feel the benefit of the life of the heat. But suppose a strong wind, the ash disperses from over the fire, and the fire makes its life seen and felt. The same strong wind of the light of my fiat will place in flight the evils, the passions, that as ash hide the divine life in them, and feeling it vividly, they will be ashamed to not let our will dominate. My daughter, time will say everything. And those who do not believe will remain confused. After this I followed the divine will and the incarnation of the Word in order to make my love, my adoration and thanksgiving, run in this act so solemn and full of tenderness and excessive love that heaven and earth are shaken and remain mute, not finding words worthy to extol an excess of love so amazing. And my sweet Jesus, with a tenderness as to break my heart, told me, "Dearest daughter, so much love was in my incarnation that the heavens lowered themselves and the earth elevated itself. If the heavens had not lowered themselves, the earth would not have had the virtue of elevating itself. It was the heaven of our Supreme Being that, taken by an excessive love, the greatest not ever heard of, lowered itself, kissed the earth, elevating it to itself, and formed the garment of my humanity in order to cover itself, hide itself, identify itself, unite itself together in order to live a life in common with it. And forming not only one excess of love, but a chain of continuous excesses, it restricted my immensity into the little circle of my humanity. For me the power, the immensity, the strength was nature, and using it would have cost me nothing. What cost me was that I had to restrict my immensity and my humanity, and remain as if I did not have either power or strength, while they were already with me and inseparable from me, and I had to adapt myself to the little acts of my humanity, and only for love, not because I could not. Therefore I descended in all the human acts in order to elevate them and give them the divine form and order. Man, by doing his will, destroyed in himself the divine way and order, and my divinity covered by my humanity came to redo what had been destroyed by him. Can one give greater love toward a creature so ungrateful? Fiat.